You did the work and launched your paid offer out into the world. And well, things didn't quite go as planned. The numbers you were hoping for didn't happen, and now you're feeling a little disappointed, a lot confused, and left wondering what went wrong. And more importantly, does this mean your business is forever doomed? What are you supposed to do now? In this episode, I'm going to share with you the 6 things you need to do immediately after a launch gone wrong to turn it into a success. So stay tuned. Hey there, I'm Shawn Miner, and this is Unstuck Entrepreneur. I'm a former nutritionist who turned a struggling, stressful nutrition practice into a thriving, freedom-filled online business where I work from home in my sweatpants while reaching and helping thousands of people all at the same time. Now I'm obsessed with showing other heart-centered coaches, practitioners, and solopreneurs how to build a business and life they love. Consider this podcast your safe space to learn both the inner work and practical strategies required to build the impactful, profitable business of your dreams. No hustle, grind, or long hours required. That's right, hustle culture, not welcome here. Let's get into today's session. Hey, hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Unstuck Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for being here, for checking out this episode and every episode that calls to you. Means so much to me to have you supporting this show. We are rounding out our series all about launching with this episode. And what better way to do that than to talk about when these launches don't go as you hoped, when you have a quote unquote failed launch. I mean, sure, we can talk about what happens when your launch is a smashing success and you totally overachieve your goals, but what fun would that be? Let's instead talk about what to do when things go wrong in your launch to turn it around, not only for that launch, but for the launches in the future. And just to give you a little bit of background on where we've been, in case you've missed some of this series, the past 4 episodes, this is the 4th episode in this series, have all been about launching. And by launching, I mean putting out your paid offer into the world for people to purchase, which is when you have a business, when someone buys what you're selling. Before you do that, you have a hobby. When you start making money, you have a business. So launching is really important. If you think about any business that is out there in your world, they all have had some sort of launch. Like there's, the ribbon cutting, if it's an actual brick and mortar business where people come out and they actually legitimately cut a ribbon. And then there's usually some sort of party, maybe some sort of sale, something like that going on to really like bring attention and excitement to that brick and mortar business being open. Same thing is going to happen with your business. Even if it is a service-based business, if it is an online business, you still are going to have kind of that ribbon-cutting ceremony every single time you put out a paid offer. You have an opportunity for someone to work with you. That is the case if it is a one-on-one coaching package or a signature program or a paid workshop, a membership, an online course, whatever it is, you're going to launch. And so this topic, this series of episodes is super important. Go back and listen to them all. So we started with episode 152. I took you behind the scenes of my most recent launch, but the most important part of that episode was breaking down all of the stages of a launch. There are different steps you go through, different periods of time that you're working on different things for your launch. I break it all down for you. So that will make it a lot clearer on what needs to happen to have a successful launch. Then we went into the mindset and the energetics required for that launch to be a success, because you can do everything I talked about, go through all the motions of a launch that I talked about in episode 152. But if you don't do what I talk about in episode 153, there's a good chance things are going to go awry and might potentially lead you to now needing this episode, which is what to do after a failed launch. So really important to listen to that too. There's so much more to it than just going through the motions, and it will really help you be able to deal really with having this failed launch, which is what we're going to talk about today. And then the third episode of this series, which was the last episode, 154, was the difference between a live launch and an evergreen launch, and which one is better for you, to have it all automated or to do it live. What I'll kind of go through the pros and cons of each so you can decide which is best for you. I give you some advice on what I think is best, and it's probably not what you think. So head over there to that episode also, and here we are, wrapping it up with what to do if things don't go as planned. Let's get into it. The very first thing I know, you know, that I am going to say to you is that there is no such thing as a failed launch. Seriously, doesn't exist. Yeah, maybe things didn't go as you hoped. Maybe you set some goals and you didn't reach them. Maybe the numbers were lower than expected. Maybe no one signed up for your paid offer. Maybe the interest wasn't there even in the free stuff you were putting out prior to your launch. But none of that equates to failure. The only way that you can fail at a launch is to not do it. So you are already way ahead of the game and already had such a successful moment in your business the moment you started putting your energy, attention, and effort towards putting your work out into the world, to doing this launch. And I understand, like, totally normal, totally valid that you would have these feelings of being disappointed, let down, defeated, frustrated, confused, starting to feel like, is this even ever going to happen for me? Is my business doomed? Should I not be doing this? What am I doing wrong? That is normal. I think you could probably ask most entrepreneurs, most people with their own business trying to make their own money, be their own boss, do their own thing, if they've ever had this experience, and I would say 99.9% of them will answer yes. This is part of it. Welcome to the world of business, and even more so, welcome to the world of online business, where your potential clients, the people paying you money, are all over the world. You've never met in person. You don't know what kind of relationship you have with them necessarily, because you're on one end, they're on the other, and it's all kind of happening throughout, like, the system that you have in place. And for some people, it might take a day. For some people, it might take 5 years to get to that point where they're ready to purchase. And it's just a little bit different of a dynamic when you are in this online business space. So it's bound to happen. You have every right to feel that way. It is totally valid that you would have those feelings. I do want to give you a little bit of a tool that I think really, really, really helps if you are ever in this space of disappointment, frustration, feeling defeated, feeling let down, feeling confused, business isn't going as planned, whether you've just done a launch or not. First, brain dump, emotion dump, I guess. Get out your journal and just let it all out. Be very candid, because no one's going to see it. No one's going to read it. You can burn the pages later if you really want to, or rip them up and put them in the shredder or whatever. But it's really important to get those feelings out onto paper. Like, yes, they're inside of you. You're feeling these emotions. You're having the thoughts, of course, that are sparking those emotions inside of you. What are those thoughts? Like, what is going on in your mind right now? Get them out onto paper. And then once you feel complete there, ask yourself and write down the answer, what am I making this mean? Because the reason why you have those emotions, the reason why you're feeling like my business is doomed, what am I doing? Am I ever going to make any money doing this? Is because you're making it mean something, and you're feeling confused and you're feeling defeated because you're making it mean something. When in reality, It's just something that happened. That event in and of itself doesn't hold any emotion, doesn't hold any weight. It's your reaction to that event that caused that, you know, but the event in and of itself is like just the same way you went to the park today or you took a walk today. It's just a thing that happened. So what are you making this mean? And then we can go back to episode 153 when I talk about that mindset that is required for a successful launch. Part of that is that detachment. And I can tell you from experience that working on that detachment piece is going to help a lot when you have maybe some goals that you don't hit or, you know, no one signed up or not as many people signed up as you had hoped and things start feeling like it's never going to happen or it's not what you expected or your business is doomed. That doesn't happen. That feeling isn't quite as intense if you started practicing detachment around your launches. So go back and listen to that as well. Okay, so beyond doing that journaling practice, I think that's really important to do. What am I making this mean? Anytime you're feeling those negative thoughts come up about your business, but specifically, we're talking launches, specifically after a launch that didn't go as you hoped. Now let's get into the six things that you need to do immediately following a launch that didn't go as planned. The very first thing I want you to do, no matter what, is to celebrate. And I know it may not feel like you want to celebrate. Really, I guess the first step really is what I just shared, which is to feel the feelings, be okay with feeling those emotions and just work through them and kind of do some stuff. Let's call that the pre-work. Then we'll move into step one, which is to celebrate because you did the thing. You did something that honestly 99% of people in this world won't or don't do. And if we're talking specifically in terms of like business owners, majority of business owners won't do or we'll never get to and we'll never actually become business owners because they won't ever do what you just did. So that takes a lot of work, a lot of energy, and that decision to go for it, that decision to put yourself out there and to take that risk, and all of that deserves a full-on celebration. I'm talking champagne, if that's your thing. I'm talking dinner out, if that's your thing. I'm talking a vacation, a social media break, whatever it is that makes you feel like you are celebrating the work that you just did, regardless of the outcome. The outcome is just what it is, but you still have the opportunity to celebrate you and your work and what you're putting out into the world. So make sure you do that. Very first thing. The second thing, take a break. Give yourself a much needed, well-deserved break that may go hand in hand with the celebrating that you're doing. Give yourself some space around your launch and the content you put out and what you did and didn't do. See if you can take a mind break from it too. Just get yourself maybe out into nature. Again, take a vacation. Give yourself some space from your screens and just take that space that you need around it because it's going to help a lot when you come back to it, which is the next step. And that is to do it again. Now, we're not going to do it again immediately. What I mean by this is that you're just scheduling out your next launch. What I don't want you to do, please, please, please don't do this, is to think that because this launch didn't go as planned, that means that you shouldn't do it again or that you need to completely revamp everything and start over from scratch and it's going to take months and months and months before you can try this again. Don't think that because what really actually happened during this launch period is that you built a massive amount of momentum. That is awesome. That is exactly where you want to be. So now you can ride that wave. Keep that momentum going with the people that were a part of your special event or got on your email list because of your freebie. You have these eyes now on your work. They are interested. They just got a bunch of great information from you. And yeah, maybe they weren't ready to take the next step and work with you in a paid context, but they're still there. They're engaged. They want more. And now is your time to ride that wave and do it again. And the more and more times you go through this process, the more and more people are going to be interested. They will start expecting it. They will get the information they need. I mean, if this was your first time launching this particular paid offer, then this is the first time these people are hearing about it. And it might take more than a week for someone to decide it's what they need. So the more you put it in front of them, the more you continue to give them valuable content, the more ready they become. And then the more times they get offered to become a part of your paid offer, the more time that is presented to them, the more times, the more opportunities they have to say yes. So we have to continue to go with that flow and build that momentum and gain that energy. And if you stop and start and stop and start and stop and start on and off this entire time, then you never gain that momentum. Because the people that were once interested, well, then they haven't heard from you in who knows how long, and you never re-talked about that offer again, and they've lost interest. They forgot what that even was. They don't think you're interested anymore. And so now you're starting over every single time. So do it again. I want you to look at your calendar. You just have celebrated. You've taken a little break. Maybe it's like a few weeks off, I'd say up to like a month off, then look at your calendar and put your next launch on your calendar now. I would say ideally, especially if you're, again, working on that momentum and you haven't quite gotten to that point where people are super engaged regardless, don't go longer than 3 months before your next launch. So minimally once a quarter as you are starting out. So put that on your calendar again. Now, step number four, now that you know that you have a launch coming up in maybe a month or 2 months, it's time to figure out what you can potentially do differently and what you will repeat during that next launch so that it can be even better than your last launch. And this is where that whole talk of it not being a failure, of this not being a waste of time, of this still being something so important for your business, even if no one signed up or even if only a few people signed up and you thought it was going to be a lot of people. And so now you're wondering what the heck to do. You have the most significant, helpful, important learning opportunity on your hands right now, at your fingertips, literally everything you need to know to make your business a success for the long haul is in this launch that you just did. And really every single launch, every time you do one of these things, you learn something so valuable about your business that you can take into the next one. And that is why they keep getting better. That is why you keep getting more interest. That is when you start getting more and more people to sign up. I mean, it's really like, to be totally honest, it's not really that big of a surprise if you're just doing this for the first few times that you aren't reaching these big, massive goals because you have so much to learn. Like if you just immediately had this amazing, successful launch, would you actually ever learn what you need to learn? It's part of the process. It's part of growing. It's part of building a business. And that's why I just think they're so fun. Like, I love doing launches for so many reasons, but I really love recapping the launches, like putting in my detective hat, looking at the numbers, and this is where you get really objective, and just seeing what worked, seeing what didn't work, like what happened, what were people interested in? What were people not interested in? What emails were opened? What emails were not opened? Where could I switch some things up? I think it's super fun. And I think you could too, once you realize like the amount that you can learn from this experience and what it will do for your business down the road because you had this opportunity now. Okay, so you're going to put on that detective hat and take a look at what went well and what didn't go well from this, as I mentioned, objective standpoint. Your emotions are set aside, like what you think is set aside, and you're just looking at the data. So from this, like you can look at how did your freebie do? So the way that I teach how to do launches includes having a simple yet valuable freebie before you get into your special event. So this is kind of in the pre-launch stage. You're kind of always kind of promoting, I guess we'll say, that freebie. How is that freebie doing? Are people interested in it? Are people signing up? When you talk about it, do you get a spike in interest? Does it seem like people are opening that welcome sequence and engaging in those emails? Did people download the workbook or whatever it is? Did they listen to the audio series? Whatever your freebie is, are they engaging in it? So that's one thing to look at. The next thing, how were the signups for your special event? Was there interest in that? What was your attendance rate? So for the amount of people that signed up, how many people engaged in that free event, whether it was a webinar type situation, a challenge, whatever it was, how was the engagement or attendance rate of that special event? Also, looking into your emails and the open rates and click rates of the emails that you were sending. This goes for the invitation emails to the special event. It goes for the emails afterwards, talking about your paid offer, those sales emails. How was the engagement on those? And you may even see, you probably will see, that some emails do better than others. So then does that mean maybe the subject line needs to be changed, or maybe just that wasn't an interesting enough email for people to open, and maybe that email needs to be rewritten? But you're looking at all of this, and just what I want to remind you real quick is that most of what you have done in this launch, even if it didn't go as planned, you will keep. You do not need to completely redo your launch. As I talked about, you're building the momentum. And so keeping a lot of it the same will actually help. So what you're doing when you're being the detective here is just figuring out those little things that you can tweak for next time that will help, and those learning opportunities that will help you really make the next launch even better and more exciting for your audience, and just really seeing those things that you can tweak without needing to completely reinvent everything. Okay, keep that in mind. So everything you're looking at now are just finding those little things that you want to change. So other things to look at, what was the engagement like on your social media posts when you were talking about both the special event and your paid offer and even your freebie? All of this is going to be so helpful to let you know that your paid offer is something that people are interested in, even if no one or very few people purchase right now. So if you're getting good engagement, if people are downloading that freebie that, by the way, is very specifically related to your paid offer, you know, it's the same person that would be interested in your paid offer is the person downloading that freebie. That shows you that there is interest. If people signed up for your special event and were really excited about it, even if they didn't attend, then that shows there's still interest. Now, if the attendance rate was low, then that may mean that you need to do a little more work on your reminder emails and getting people excited in between the time they sign up and show up. And also keeping in mind that the like industry average of showing up to sign up is like 30%. So, you know, if you have 100 people sign up, then you expect around 30 to actually show up live if you're doing a workshop type event, just FYI. And another thing to look at as you're being a detective in your business is the objections that you got. Maybe you did talk to some people that were potentially interested, or maybe you got some emails, or you just heard through the grapevine some things that people were saying, and the objections that they may have had towards your paid offer. What were the reasons they were giving for why they couldn't sign up. Was it a money issue, a time issue, not being ready issue? You know, there's very similar objections for pretty much every paid offer. And really knowing what specifically comes out for your paid offer will help again for next time, because that will then be infused into your messaging. And speaking of messaging, this is where we have to talk about messaging, because now that you have done some of this work, you've looked at your numbers and gotten an idea of what went well and what needs to be changed or tweaked or improved for next time, we can dive into the specifics around that, because there are some things to look at as you figure out how to improve for next time, which happens to be step number 5, improve for next time. The things to look at. So specifically, if interest for your free stuff prior to your launch seemed lower than you were expecting, like there wasn't as many people downloading your freebie and signing up for your freebie and getting involved in your special event and all the stuff that you're putting out in your pre-launch and pre-pre-launch, it's most likely either a messaging problem or a mismatch between the audience that you currently have and the offer that you just put out. This is also assuming that you are talking about and sharing about your free stuff enough. Obviously, people can't sign up for it if they don't know that it exists. And if you're only talking about it every once in a while, not enough to get that momentum going. And this is what we do in Launch List Accelerator, so that you know exactly how often you need to post and exactly what you need to say. So it's not just like, hey, here's my free thing, but really getting the right messaging, the right wording into it so that people are interested in it. So just as a side note, please make sure you're actually talking about it enough. So that might be a whole nother reason why no one's engaging in this free stuff, is because they don't know it exists. So another thing to look at. But let's just assume that you have and the interest was low. Then that first, I would definitely look at your messaging. And then if there's interest in your freebie and special event, but not good conversion into your paid offer or not what you expected, then it is potentially a messaging problem again and an offer problem. So let's talk about all of these and what you can really look at. And again, before we do that, also making sure and being really honest with yourself about if you talked about it enough. And again, if you are in the Signature Program bundle and you have access to my entire launch strategy and you follow it, then you can know for sure that you talked about it enough. So that's a non-issue if you have that. But if you don't, then, you know, quite often I see people, you know, say once or twice on their social media or in their emails or whatever they have as their platform that they have something available, and it's just not enough. You know, the rule of 7 applies. It's just like this known thing that people need to hear about something 7 times before they take action. And so that applies to your launch as well. So it may absolutely be a case of you just not sharing about it enough. And then if that's the thing for both your free stuff and your paid stuff, then the real question is, why are you hiding? What are you afraid of? Why is self-promotion an issue for you? I mean, that's the reality. That's like the real heart of it, is there is something blocking you from promoting what you have to offer. And since it is a service-based business, most likely, that is usually yourself. So what is keeping you from promoting your offers, promoting yourself, promoting your services? But for the sake of this episode and this conversation, let's say that you followed the plan to a T and you're confident that your audience knew about the paid offer and knew about the special event and knew about the freebie and had the opportunity, multiple opportunities to take action, and they didn't in some capacity. Messaging. The first thing to look at to improve for next time I love you all, but I can guarantee, myself included, that you can improve your messaging because we all can. I really don't know a whole lot of entrepreneurs out there, especially in the online business space, that have perfect messaging. There's always room for improvement because a lot of it changes. You know, it changes day by day what we really connect with, what's going on in the world that we can then infuse into our messaging and how we talk to people and what really intrigues us and causes emotion within us. So much of it changes as our world changes, and it's important to always have that stuff top of mind in your launches, in between launches, anytime you put out any content. As a reminder, messaging, in like the smallest little definition I could give, which in reality is way bigger than this, but simplistically, it's how you talk about your offer, the words that you use to communicate your offer, what you have for sale. It is how you sell it, how you get people to understand that they need it, that they want it, that it will help them, that it will get them from point A to point B, that it will solve a problem, that it will get to a solution, all of that stuff. So it is not just like the words you use in terms of like, there's four modules and week one we do this and week two we do this and it costs this much and here's this payment plan. That's not messaging. It goes more into the emotion, the thoughts, the feelings, the vibe of our dream clients and how we can essentially get them to a point where they know with certainty that we get them. Because the moment that someone really truly feels that deep within, like what you say resonates with them on a whole different level, that is when they are ready to purchase. That is when that connection has been made that is so strong and they feel comfortable, confident, and trust you enough to pay you. And that is why messaging is so important. And again, very rarely do I see that. I always look at, you know, my clients and my dream clients from this lens of what their clients see, their dream clients see, and does it invoke that feeling? And it's challenging. I mean, I don't see it that often. It takes a lot of work and a lot of practice. And part of that practice is in doing these launches. Like that is the only way to get better at your messaging is to try some messaging, try some communication systems, try some words and phrases and see if they resonate. And the best way to know if they resonate is to try to sell, try to market, go through this process, and then evaluate afterwards, which is what we're doing now. So go back through your content now, your emails, your social media posts, what you said in your podcast episodes or your YouTube videos, what you did through your special event, and really look at it in this lens of, did I effectively communicate that I am the one that gets my clients? Will they know without a doubt through what I just shared in this launch that I get them, that I understand them, and that I can help them? That is what they want to know. They don't care about how many modules are in your program. They want to know that you can help solve their problem. So did you effectively communicate that on a deep level? Because remember, there are lots of other people saying some similar stuff. Let's just be honest here. We're not the only ones having an online business. We're not the only ones selling something similar to what we do. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude or harsh or mean or anything, but it's true. There are other people doing what you do. All of us, myself included. There's tons of other people doing what I do. And so for me to do what I do and to attract the right people to my work, and for you to do what you do and attract the right people to your work, you have to find a way to communicate on a deeper level, on a very unique level to you that no one else can do because no one else is in your brain. Communicate that with your dream client? And did you do that? Can you say with certainty that you found a unique and a different expression of the work that you do for your dream clients in this launch? And what can you tweak to try to reach them even more deeply? Like, instead of using the word stress, can you find another word that is even more indicative of what they're really going through? Even more of that connection point, because everyone's stressed, everyone talks about stress, every practitioner can deal with stress. They need someone who knows more deeply what it looks like and feels like in their lives. And that's just an example, one example of many. So can you take it to the next level with your messaging, with the words and phrases you use? The second thing is the offer. So your offer. And this is where it can kind of get confusing, because a lot of people think that their paid thing, whatever they have, this product, this service, is their offer. And that's not true. Your product is your product. Your service is your service. Your offer is that environment around your product or service that makes it very compelling. It's just like creating this really awesome environment around it that essentially what you're doing is you're trying to make it a no-brainer decision. You are, with your offer, really showcasing your services, your product in a way that's like, yes, sign me up. I don't even know how much it costs, but I am in. I want this. I need this. This is for me. And your messaging is part of your offer. How you describe, how you get people interested in even getting to that offer point, it's all part of that system. But when it comes to your actual offer, two things that are important to consider. Have you showcased the value of what they are getting? Can you increase that perceived value potentially? And can you lower the risk? Because those are really the two things that people consider, like subconsciously even. You don't even know you're doing this, but we do it every time we buy anything. Like, is the value there for this price point? And what kind of risk is involved? And especially, like, we really have to consider that when you have an online business and you are selling an online service, because people potentially have never met you before. They don't know a whole lot about you. You know, there is that risk of like, when I pay this, what if I don't get anything? What if this is a scam? What if this person isn't real? You know, like, there's a lot involved there. So to lower the risk for someone is really important in the work that you're doing. So there's a few ways you can do this. The first is to add in some bonuses, some other special things that are a part of your service or your product. And when I say product, I don't necessarily mean like physical product. It could be a digital product, like a course, a program, a workshop, something like that. You can think about some bonuses. You can also do some pricing options, like payment plans or something like that, that again, it lowers the risk, it increases the value because it makes it more accessible to people. You can also do special pricing in terms of, you know, a special discount, a special coupon code or something like that, that again, increases the value, decreases the risk. Also adding in things like a refund policy, a guarantee, something like that, where, you know, refunds aren't necessarily all that easy to do for a service-based business, especially if you have an online product where it gets immediately delivered and they have access to the entire thing. But a guarantee is really helpful. So if someone does the work and they don't see improvement, it doesn't work for them, then maybe they can get some of their money back, all of their money back. It just totally depends. And there are lots of options. And I walk through all of this with you in the offer module of Signature Program Lab. But lots of stuff involved in an offer beyond just the actual thing you're selling. The more intriguing your offer is, the more sales you will get, obviously. I mean, there's so many of us, again, without even consciously realizing it, but you buy something because you get a free something else. Like I do this with my skin products I'm using right now called Biossance. I don't know if anyone else uses this stuff. I love it. But pretty much every day they have some sort of bonus or sale or special. And I'm always sucked into it. So the last time I ordered from them, I just wanted the face cream. But then they were doing this special where you got five other products, like the sample size of five other products. And I was sold. I was like, yes, I want to try these other products. It's amazing. This is perfect. I'm excited. So I probably wouldn't have purchased because I didn't quite need it yet, except that there was this special thing going on. So again, that is the offer. It's not just that that face cream. It's the whole environment that was created around that face cream, around the purchase of that face cream. And yes, they also have a guarantee. Like if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for you, you just send it back. And that helps too, because then I'm out nothing if this face cream makes me break out or something. So this applies to your online business as well, because no matter what people are buying, we're all consumers. At the end of the day, we all have this consumer mentality, and you need to think about that in your business as well. And then the last thing in terms of how you can improve for next time, which this kind of goes into step six, is thinking about your audience. Because what I see happen a lot, and this is totally normal, and I went through this multiple times in my business too, is as our business evolves, our work evolves, what we're interested in evolves, our audience kind of changes, like who we are talking to changes. And so you may be at that point where your old audience, the people that were following you on Instagram or were on your email list or whatever, it's not a good fit anymore. There's not a good match. And so the next thing to look at beyond messaging offer is really understanding more about your audience. Are they still the right fit for what you are now working towards for the launch that you just did? I mean, if that's kind of what you're seeing in your recap is that there's just not that much interest from your audience, then there's the possibility that it's just not the right audience anymore. Maybe you've had them as an audience for years and years and years, and it's just gone a little stale, and that happens. And so this is where we get into step six, the final thing to do right after your launch, which is to keep building your list. So you just took a break, and then you put the next launch on your calendar for a few months max out. So no, remember, we're keeping the momentum going. So no more than a few months out. And in between that time, because now you've already done a lot of the work for your next launch, you know your special event. Yes, you may tweak some things. Maybe you'll even just like change the title to see if you get more interest. Maybe you'll add or subtract some slides to your webinar if it's that kind of thing. Maybe you'll turn it from a challenge into a webinar or a webinar into a challenge. But unless you just like totally hated that special event and you don't want to do it ever again, then you can probably reuse it. And the same goes with a lot of the other content you created for this last launch. You can reuse it. And so this means that a lot of that energy that was going into that for the launch you just completed, now that energy can go into building your audience. And if you remember from episode 152, when I talked about the different stages of launching, there's that pre-launch stage, which you're kind of like almost always in. Like there may be a little bit of a break here and there, which is normal. If you're like, I don't want to do this 365 days a year, that's okay. You can take a break. But a lot of time is spent in that pre-launch stage, especially if you're really needing to build your audience to get more eyes on your work. This is kind of that point where the freebie is the main focus and you're getting people interested and involved in that freebie. Again, you may not need to change anything about your actual freebie, but instead working on the messaging around that freebie, perhaps getting a new platform started that will get you in front of new people. So maybe now is a good time to start a podcast because, you know, that's one of my favorite platforms, obviously, but something like that where you can then get into a new audience and reach new people and get them involved in your freebie. But the main thing that you should be focusing on in between launches is getting people on your email list that are a good fit for that offer that you have going on during your launch. So this is super important because otherwise you're going to stay stuck in this place where you don't get a lot of attention, you don't get a lot of engagement when you talk specifically about the things that you want to do in your paid offer, because it's just not the right audience. And so having that freebie that is a perfect match is important. And again, that's part of the Launch List Accelerator, getting that all set up for you, because a lot of it's going on behind the scenes. You know, it's not like this is something you have to focus on all day, every day, but it is something that is always happening behind the scenes. And then you spend maybe a few days a week where you do promote it, you do talk about it on social media, but you still have this automated system going on all the time. And of course, the more people that you have on your email list, every launch you do, the more conversions you will have in each launch. It's just a numbers game. And it's an attraction game, really working on getting the right people to know about you, to see what you do, to be interested in what you do, and those people being the right people for your paid offer. So that is number six. Those are the six things that you need to do right after your launch. And really, this, you should be doing this whether you had this complete smashing success of a launch or this what you perceive as failure of a launch, doesn't matter. This, do this every time, because again, there's always going to be things that you can learn and improve and grow. It's part of the process. It's the fun part, honestly. I think how cool is it that we have so many learning experiences to be had at every stage of the game? I think it's really cool, at least. And as a reminder, everything I talked about in all of these episodes around launching, and specifically today too, if you would like help and guidance and a little more done-for-you type launch experience, then that is available for you inside the Signature Program Bundle. Module 5, I'll walk you through the entire process of creating that irresistible offer. All of the things included besides just like, hey, I have this program, come buy it. We will create that offer that makes it so compelling and irresistible. And then in module 6, literally everything I could possibly think of to make launching your program as easy as possible, as time-saving as possible, to take out all the questions that you might have, to take out all of the guesswork, and to make sure it is as successful as possible for you too. I give you the emails, I give you the templates, I give you the webinar templates, I tell you exactly what to do on what day and when. I mean, like, I really tried to make it as simple as possible. That's all available for you inside the Signature Program Bundle. And really, if you're someone who knows that you want a signature program in your business, or if you even think you might someday potentially be interested in having your own signature program as your paid offer, the best place to start is to go to my free masterclass, and I will walk you through the entire process. I will show you what's involved, how to do it, what steps to take. I will lay it all out for you so that you have the system that you need to make this possible for you and your business. And it's all free. So you can go to seanminor.com/masterclass to schedule your session for when it works best for you. That's seanminor.com/masterclass. That's a really, really good free place to start. All right, my friends, thanks so much for checking this episode out. If you have any questions about launching or signature programs or email lists or anything in your business, be sure to reach out on social media. I'm over at Instagram at Unstuck Entrepreneur. You can DM me over there and I'll get back to you. Or if you just want to come hang out and watch some weird videos, I'm over on TikTok too now at Unstuck Entrepreneur over there. And until next time, take care. Hey friend, real quick before you go, don't forget to head over to my website and take the quiz to find out your solopreneur personality type. I've created a super fun, super informative 2-minute quiz that will show you which one of the 4 solopreneur personality types you fall into. Could it be the boss, the socialite, the visionary, or the supporter? Which one are you? Not only is it just fun to know more about yourself, especially as it relates to your business, but it's also really important information so you can be sure that you're building a business that works for you based on your energy, your personality, and your desires. Did you ever take those quizzes from the Cosmopolitan magazine back in the day? It's kind of like that, but with actual solid questions and real helpful tips and advice at the end. You can find the What's Your Solopreneur Personality Type quiz right on the homepage of my website at seanminer.com. Head there now to take the quiz, then let me know over on Instagram at Unstuck Entrepreneur what your type is. I'll see you over there.